Hello, and welcome back to the Masonic Roundtable, a weekly program where Masons from around the world get together to talk about Masonic news in a friendly manner. As a reminder, the thoughts and opinions expressed here are solely the opinions of the participants and do not represent any Grand Lodge statements of positions. Make sure you keep your conversations open for the public and on the level to interact with us. You can send questions and comments live every Thursday night as you watch us live on Facebook. So hello and good evening to Facebook land as well as YouTube. Hello and good evening to Facebook. Let's see. You know me. My name is John Ruark. I am a past master of the Patriot Lodge number 1957 in Fairfax, Virginia, and I am happy to be here. So without further ado, let's move to the next host on my screen, and that would be Juan Sepulveda. Good evening, Juan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good evening, everyone. Juan Sepulveda here from Orange Blossom Lodge number 80 in sunny Kissimmee, Florida, and the brother behind thegentlemansbrotherhood.com. Good evening.
Good evening. Next up, Robert Johnson. How's it going, Robert?
Hey, everything's going really well. Thanks, John. Robert Johnson, Space Novum Lodge 1183 up in Libertyville, Illinois, and the host of Whence Came You Masonic Podcast. Good to be with you guys. Thanks.
Excellent. And last but not least for tonight, Joe Martinez. How are you, Joe?
Ooh, Joe Martinez. Let's see. This week I am from Benjamin B. French Lodge, number 15 in the District of Columbia, and I'm a Pisces, so happy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so Jason's feeling under the weather tonight, but we won't hold that against him. Be well. Let's get into one additional thing. Before we get into tonight's topic, I want to give a special shout out to the patrons who've been supporting the show. You guys are awesome. Thank you for everything you do to support the future of Freemasonry and Masonic education. We'll talk a little bit about Masonic education tonight. If you'd like to hop in the super secret Facebook chat room that we have, love to see you over there. We've had some wild conversations. This week it's been about, is it older modern English or old English? Right, of what our catechism resembles. So you'll have to find out by heading over to patreon.com/the Masonic Roundtable and chipping a few bucks. And that way you'll help support the show, support the tech, and keep this going for quite a long time. So thank you for that. Okay, so tonight's topic is an interesting one. On the concept of the well-rounded Masonic education diet. So if you're new to the show, I hate to break it to you, we really like Masonic education. And so that's what keeps us going. That's what's kept the show going for over 6 years now. But when you consume, just like you consume food and nutrition for your body, you want to make sure that what you consume is well-rounded. So let's pull that metaphor for a second here. Your body needs certain types of protein, certain types of nutrients in order to function properly. It's going to need different ones at different times. It's going to need different pieces of nutrition as you grow. So the same is also true for your spiritual growth as well. You're going to need different pieces of Masonic education as you grow in your knowledge and grow in Masonry. So we're going to be using that metaphor of what it's like to have, quote unquote, a well-rounded meal or a square meal of Masonic diet in your education. So let's really think about and unpack that and explore what that means to make sure that we have a square meal of Masonic education. Without further ado, let's start with Joe. What do you think one aspect of your Masonic education diet should consist of?
Well, I think probably the least one that it consists of is symbolism, you know, or the interpretation of symbolism. I think that, and we'll get into some examples of what sure. different jurisdictions consider education, but a lot of them say symbolism, but you don't really get that in lodge that often. So I would say that's, you know, that's probably your carbohydrates in the mix.
There you go. Food pyramid and all. Remember, food pyramid's been debunked. How about you, Juan? What do you think another aspect of Masonic education consists of?
another aspect of Masonic education, of course, which is my favorite, is the practical application of the morals and ethics that are promulgated in the craft. So the practical application, the applied Freemasonry, if you will, that's another component that I think it's essential. Or you can call it a macronutrient.
Would you say that it is a system of morality, veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols?
Yeah, so the allegory is the gravy, and the symbol is the garnish.
Ooh, I'm getting hungry just thinking about this. All right, Robert, what say you? What do you think is another aspect of Masonic education?
Well, number one, I just loved Juan's allegory there. I like the picture that you painted. Brilliant. I just realized there's a lot of puns in what I just said, if you think about what you do for a living. Anyway, it's well-rounded, right? So we're talking about different food groups, whatever. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out that ritual instruction might also be a component of Masonic education.
I knew you were going to go to me.
Hard cut.
I would have to absolutely disagree with Robert on that. I don't believe
that's fair.
The learning of ritual is, I don't consider Masonic education, like what the ritual symbolizes and the execution of the ritual.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Carry rod this way, take this step this way. Uh-huh. Although there could be a basis, right? If you believe in practical magic, that things have to be done just a certain way in order to invoke things. I mean, mm-hmm. That's one thing. But as far as Masonic education, we're talking about the expansive nature of the human mind, in my view, anyway.
I mean, you could pull that thread. I started disagreeing with you just because you said the word ritual. So doom on me. But, you know, pull that thread a little bit. And, you know, even the movements that you learn, you know, pick up your staff this way, go around the room this way, that kind of thing. I mean, you're learning about things like invoking sacred spaces and stuff like that, whether you know it or not. You know, why do we do this at the altar? Why do we do that? So in that regard, yeah, that could absolutely be education if the person that's doing it is actually thinking about that stuff and not just going through the motions.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've talked about ritual writ large on other episodes of the show, right? What does it mean to have rituals? And is it going through the motions, or is it going through the motions and understanding why? Obviously, the latter is preferred. Another one that I'll just jump into before we dive deep is history. So that's another element that is, you know, it's pretty easy to do because, you know, people who are amateur historians can easily pick up, the unique aspects of the history of the craft, the history of their lodge, the history of this old past master who's been around for 100 years and knows, you know, where all the little, you know, dents and creaks are in the lodge building. Like, That's history. That is your lodge's history. But also there's the whole history of the fraternity as well. And there's no shortage of areas to explore for the Masonic student. Yep.
Like George Washington.
No, shut the front door.
Washington was a Mason. He was.
We should do a show on that.
We should.
And I think the obvious one that we also have kind of missed in our foursome here tonight is the administration part, right? Many jurisdictions, because we just did a whole episode on jurisprudence of how they make laws and how business is handled. That in itself can be a piece of instruction that one would get in their Masonic career to learn about how the bodies work, how they operate, how they vote, how they handle bylaws. That's just the whole administrative part of the fraternity as well. Okay. So that'd be more like the broccoli. That would be kind of the vegetables off to the side.
The healthy portion, the stuff they want you to.
Yeah.
Make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables.
You kind of should know how to do it, but it doesn't, doesn't taste good. There are people that love
beans.
It. There are people that green beans.
Gross.
Of education.
It is the green beans, right? Because, you know, it's let's pull that thread a little bit. And yes, I did say the word green beans. Super chat love to anyone who throws green beans in tonight. So,
you got a drink when Joe.
Yes. Says
Joe, you can't say pull the thread. You have to say, let me stir the pot a little so that we can stay just in on brand.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. So let me stir that, that crock pot a bit, you know, with those soggy green beans. But, you know, I would actually bifurcate learning how to be a lodge officer from Masonic education as a whole, right? Because you've got your brothers that have been Masons for 20, 25 years, have never sat in a chair. They have no desire to sit in a chair. Why do they need to learn, you know, about this and about that when it pertains to, you know, the duties of a deacon or the duties of a warden and stuff? So, you know, that administrative stuff, while I think is important, and maybe it's just me, I break that off from Masonic education. For me, Masonic education, maybe I'm getting to the end of the show at the beginning of the show, but for me, Masonic education is, how do I take the things that I went through and turn them into something that I can apply in my real everyday life, right? You know, learning how to, you know, get mad at a brother because he didn't vote the way that I did, that I can't go take into my real life, you know, the parking lot.
You know, so you bring up a really good point, and I'm gonna flip it back to you, Joe, because I know you've done some research for this. Instead of just Joe's opinion, let's explore what Grand Lodges say Masonic education actually is, right? Because that's the catch-all here. Like, if I know personally, we've had people message the show saying, hey, I'm fascinated. Where do I start? Where do I start learning about Masonic education? And then, you know, the first question is, what do you want to learn? Because, you know, what floats your boat? Because there's so many paths you can take. And, you know, as we talked before the show, Joe, I'm influenced by what the Grand Lodge of Virginia says. And so there's an interesting quote out of some of our education officer manuals in the Grand Lodge of Virginia that really helps to narrow down a little bit. So what does the Grand Lodge of Virginia say what Masonic education actually is?
Yeah, absolutely. So they have a fantastic definition on paper. And it goes like this. It is, Masonic education is the non-ritualistic instruction of the brethren in all aspects of Freemasonry, including but not limited to the history, philosophy, symbolism, leadership, laws, and customs. And then I'm going to skip on to the next part where it says, dedicated Masons contribute to the betterment of the craft in general and help spread the goals of Freemasonry among individual Masons when they were properly educated. And here's my favorite part. The purpose of Masonic education is to encourage every Mason to have a sense of wonder about his fraternity, to inquire after a better understanding of our principles, and to be self-relying in seeking the light of knowledge from the multitude of sources available to him. I mean, that is just a beautiful definition.
Beautiful. So what does it mean?
Well, what it gets translated to, it means we're going to talk about George Washington at every single opportunity for education possible.
And so that's the
but
that's
why
the
disconnect. Is that?
Right. Why is that?
It's accessible and easy. I mean, so that's what Virginia says. Are you okay if I tell you what Illinois has?
Please.
Yeah. So here is Illinois. We have something called the Intender Manual, which defines our different things. So it's a book that really goes through the three degrees, explains it to the candidate, and all of these things. So we actually stole the kind of Intender idea, I think, not stole, borrowed from Grand Lodge Ohio. Shout out to Chad. But way back, I think before Chad was born, probably. So they have three sentences. There are three Masonic education is statements in this book. The first is, Masonic education is a means of helping preserve membership and keep our brethren interested in the craft and its work. So that talks to membership retention, the reason we come to lodge. It says, in general, Masonic education is intended for 1, the candidate, 2, the officers, 3, the members, 4, the families of members, and 5, our neighbors and friends. All can be subjected to Masonic educational efforts. I think that's cool because it means, hey, bring people out to Masonic education events. And third, it says the purpose of Masonic education is to aid a new brother in becoming a true Mason. We realize that every member will not become a Masonic scholar and cannot compel him to attend a school of instruction or otherwise. An attempt must be made to show him the true value of Masonry and the part it can play in his life. So I think that really talks to the applicable part in a Masonic sense, like as Juan was talking about, and what Joe also alluded to, what do you take and how do you put it in your life in action today? So it does speak to those things. One thing that I do find unique about it is it speaks to a core reason for Masonic education, which is the idea that it's there to, like, what is the value proposition? We've talked about this, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up. Exactly.
Right. And this is what, like, what are you getting out of this? And, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, a reason to continue to come back to Lodge. People don't pay dues for the minutes, right? We all know this, or Joe's favorite green beans. They pay because they derive a value from the Lodge.
So if you're getting a college degree and you're getting general studies, then you would ask a student of general studies, what are you studying? Well, you know, general things, right? So my point that I'm trying to make there is that without a clear value proposition of electrical engineering, now when you ask an electrical engineer who's on the electrical engineering path, what are you studying? Oh, I'm studying circuits. I'm studying signals. I'm studying discrete math, right? That is much more clear about what education means for that value proposition. And I think that's part of why Masonic education is nebulous. It has a different definition at every Grand Lodge level because we don't have the explicit value proposition because Freemasonry is everything for everybody.
Right. And
so you can't study something that's not well defined.
Exactly. And I think that's a main problem with this. I wanted to read this little quip, but before I do, I do reckon I want to pass it over to Juan. I think you had something.
No, finish your thought and, you know, and I'll carry from
there. Okay. So this is just a quick quote from Grand Lodge proceedings, and I'll tell you where it comes from here in a moment, but it says, what facts, theory, or doctrine does the Grand Lodge expect the Committee on Masonic Information to inculcate? The Grand Lodge has not said, obviously, it is not to teach what it is in the ritual, for that is already thoroughly taken care of. What is the Grand Lodge's authorized and approved version of the history of Freemasonry? It has none, except what is found in ritual. What is the Grand Lodge's interpretation of the symbolism of Freemasonry? It hasn't any, except the ritual. What is the doctrine of the Grand Lodge about the philosophy, religion, or principles of Freemasonry? Obviously, nothing, except what is already taught in the ritual. Therefore, if your committee circulates any information at all, it must be in addition to the only authorized doctrine of the Grand Lodge, the ritual. Hence, we have the anomaly of a committee officially and solemnly authorized to disseminate unauthorized materials. That's from the Committee on Masonic Information, which was formerly Education of the Grand Lodge of California. In 1947.
That's fascinating. And here's why I completely disagree. First, which ritual, right? I mean, of course, they're talking about California's, right? And, you know, when you look at like a great book like A Mason's Words, where you look at the Preston Webb influence or the Ancients, you know, influence, like which ritual depends on who wrote it, which depends on what they were trying to say. And so to say that, well, if it's not explicitly, exoterically written, then you can't interpret it of what the meaning was, you know. Or the converse to that statement is, it can be anything you want as long as it lines up with that. And that's where I have a problem because, you know, you can't say, well, because, you know, they use the word green in the ritual, that means that green beans apply as a symbol for Freemasonry, right?
But we know
that specific passages were added in that had a specific meaning.
And the context to the rest of that the rest of that address basically says, we're frustrated because you won't back us on anything.
Okay, that's
fair. They're like, what do you want us to do? Grand Lodge.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so this is, but this is in 47, so it's an ongoing problem. We don't define it, right? And I don't know what the thoughts are and why, but yeah. I mean, Juan? I have some, but whatever.
Yeah, in Florida, they have what seems to be a wide scope of their definition of Masonic education to encompass, but not limited to, Masonic leadership, the management of the lodge. And a good example here, if you were to go to the Grand Lodge of Florida's website, they have a Grand Lodge Masonic Education Programs page, and in it, they have an explanation of the various aspects that they promulgate around the state. And the first is Masonic leadership training. There's schools of instructions. For those who don't know, those are regular meetings that happen. Thank you very much. The regular meetings that happen, I want to say every other week, if not every week, I can't remember. But you go there and members of different lodges go within a specific district, and they either practice ritual, they prepare for different milestones that lodges need to meet in order to basically qualify for recognition from Grand Lodge, or basically to stay kosher. You have Master Mason exams, and those also include the preparation for those exams. So you have separate meetings that help Master Masons assimilate the information related to a Master Mason. Lodge officer training. This is very specific about running the lodge. Then you have the Grand Lodge books and exams, which Patrick Tessier mentioned earlier. And these are some smaller booklets that come from Grand Lodge that you can give to the different candidates as they progress through the degree. You have the Florida Lodge of Research. They do their own study. And they publish their own papers, and they share them on their website. Masonic etiquette, basically telling you how to comport yourself in a lodge. They have secretary and treasurer's seminars. And then you have the mentor's manual. I'm not sure what the grand oration is. I haven't read through that, but the mentor's manual is there to help you if you decide to aid another brother in their education. So it hits on a lot of different aspects. I've gone through a lot of those trainings. For example, I'm very proud of the Masonic leadership training. Right Worshipful Jorge Aladro, past Grand Master of Florida, he worked with other brothers to put together this education, and it really helps. If you have any questions about what your role is within the lodge when you adopt a position, the answers are there. If you want to know about how to handle public relations, there's a chapter on that. And these are things that have to be, they can't be handled just by saying, oh, just look to the ritual, because public relations alone is a ever evolving animal that you have to deal with. You know, if you look at many of the discussions about technology in lodges, like, they're just getting into some basic stuff like
IBM PCs, the wave of the future.
Yeah. Should we get a Square or a PayPal dongle to take dues? I'm like, yeah, you should have 20 years ago. Let's talk about TikTok and masonry. Yeah.
Right. So go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, Juan brought up a couple of things that piqued my curiosity. So, I've been a part of, let's go to another jurisdiction. I'm a member of Massachusetts. I spoke at quite a few district lodges of instruction. And in Massachusetts, it was neat because the entire district would meet monthly and would get together for lodges of instruction that were all education only. It wasn't ritual school. Like here in Virginia, we have, you know, monthly ritual schools by district or quarterly ones, depending on what district you're a member of. But that, you know, anything related to ritual is kept in that camp. Then you have, like Massachusetts does, lodges of instruction, where they're only there to have Masonic education, whether it's historical or philosophical or symbolic or even administrative, you know, those four food groups that we talked about. And so I find that interesting that some jurisdictions use lodges of instruction for ritual and some use them for education. But the other thing that Juan said that struck a chord with me that I think we've all seen or been a part of or are members of are research lodges, right? And the whole advent of research lodges was, you know, I'm not getting Masonic education in my lodge, so let me go somewhere where its sole purpose is to do Masonic education, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, just those two things that, you know, the distinguished gentleman from Florida raised, I thought was interesting.
Yeah, Juan raised it too. Yeah. So what happens to the human body when your nutrients are off balance? What happens when you're focusing too much on sweets and sugars and not enough with proteins and fibers and the like?
Organ shutdown.
Bad stuff, right?
Like bad stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we always talk, you know, you always hear growing up, balanced diet, right? Balanced diet, well-rounded meal, you know, a colorful plate is the another thing they teach kids now, right? Make sure you have lots of different colors on your plate of green vegetables and colorful fruits and as well as, you know, your proteins and starches. So the same can also be true, and I'll go ahead and say it, that if you're education is off balance, then you will also have some sort of decay in part of your Masonic spiritual body. So what does that look like? Well, you know, here's an exercise that any one of you can do from home, is to go look at your favorite Masonic education resource. Don't care what it is. Either it could be TMR, it could be your Grand Lodge, it could be Facebook groups that you're part of, right? Your Fracted Light or these others. Saperi Aude has an interesting YouTube channel. And what I want you to do is to try to sort the content that you see, as wonderful as it may be, try to sort them into those different buckets we've talked about earlier in the show. And the challenge is to try to see, is it too heavy-handed on one side or the other? So where I'm going with that is, you know, when I was was young in Masonry and I was trying to, you know, appeal to our Grand Lodge in Virginia to kind of do more educational programs and have it as a bigger system, the immediate response was, yeah, but, you know, not everybody wants all that. Okay, I got it. And I'm asking for 1% where there's 0% now. And I'm not asking for 50%. I'm asking for 75%. I'm just asking for, you know, a foot in the door. And the same is also true, you know, if you try to go the other way. So what I'm exploring here is if you take this mental or literal catalog of the Masonic education that you see, try to see if, is it a balance of administration? Is it a balance of history? Is it a balance of ritual? Is it a balance of symbolism? Because even that, if you're off balance, you can start to decay in those other areas as well. What do you think about that metaphor?
It's almost as good as one of mine.
Oh yeah?
No,
I'm just kidding. No. It's way better. It's no. way better.
We've talked about your
like, metaphors. You eat too many carrots, you turn orange. If right, you eat too have... many carrots, you turn orange. Just say.
I did want to shine a light on one of the classiest, most elegant, and inspiring first ladies that this country has had the pleasure of having in the White House. Ms. Michelle Obama. She, part of her mission when she was the first lady was to address nutrition and to address food deserts. Now, everything we're talking about here, where, for example, you say, well, we don't do history in this lodge. We just do fraternity and fellowship. If you were to ask people who are in food deserts in this country, they're not necessarily starving. They are lacking access to nourishing food. They're lacking easy, immediate, convenient access to food that doesn't just fill them up, but distributes the kind of nutrients that are necessary for there to be a healthy equilibrium in the body. So one of the efforts that she had was to increase, first of all, awareness that there are these food deserts in the country, that there are districts and there are counties is what I meant. There are counties that are completely devoid of access to good, healthy greens, you know, fruits and vegetables. At the ready, you have fast food restaurants or you have bodegas that offer, you know, fried food or what have you. So these people are not starving. They're just not getting the nutrient. And if they don't know what they're missing, how can they demand it? How can they make the moves in order to...
That's fascinating. Oh, wow.
To support those communities.
You know, I'm just... Yeah, that's... wow, that hits home really close to me. Because when I was like a young Mason, like, you know, newly raised, the first year or two, honeymoon phase... I was out there on the internet Googling everything and I'd come to lodge and talk to past masters about this thing. And they'd say, never heard that before. And of course I wouldn't find it in my lodge programs. I would not find it in my lodge library. Yes, the lodge had a library, but their books of, you know, the history of Royal Arch in Virginia, right? It's not that it's bad. It's just, it did not open the aperture to all these other things I was exploring. So to your point, if all they know is the McDonald's next door, they don't know what other, you know, variety, spice of life that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To take that even further, right, is this idea, like in real life, those food deserts that exist, and when it's recognized, you started seeing these grants that allowed for farmers markets to come in and like, it was like, if you're all familiar with like pop sales or whatever, right? Like a pop store is going to show up somewhere just to sell a few things. So like just now, just imagine if you take that same kind of model for Freemasonry, is that pop-up or is that farmer's market now just that 1% that John was asking for? Can we put that out there? Can we put some fresh greens out there? Can we, you know, throw some chum out there.
I'm not saying we're going paleo. I'm not saying we're going to have kale chips. Like, let's not go nuts. Just a little balance. Just a little balance.
Yeah. And think about whenever an individual, just think about how difficult it is for you to break from a habitual food that is just detrimental to your health. Just, it's hard. It's hard for you to say no to it. It's hard for you to choose more wholesome options than to those. So if you were to compare that to, let's say, for example, a lodge or an entire district that has been devoid of just the practical application of masonry, okay? And you know I'm passionate about this. If we say that we make good men better, it's not by osmosis. It's not just by being in close proximity to other like-minded men. There has to be a decision made that I am going to recognize my flaws. I'm going to work at divesting myself from those flaws and giving some room for improvement.
That doesn't happen by accident. That from the Committee on Jurisprudence and how they dictate the administrative process in which resolutions can be introduced and voted on in an appropriate matter that is equal to 2/3 of the vote of the past masters and or the Grand Line committee.
I am
just
sure.
Feel like I was in Lodge. I just felt like I was in Lodge right then and there.
Well, he was just
somewhere a lawyer got his wings.
he was just pointing people to that excellent discussion we had on jurisprudence. If you missed it, check it out last episode. Don't miss it. But their intentions may be great. The intention of the people that want to make these amendments to the Masonic Digest and the Masonic law books, basically, the intention is right, but sometimes the execution may be lacking. Like, for example, I love the fact that we have so many options here in Florida. The intent and the intention is well thought through, and there's an option here for a lot of different aspects that we need. But when you actually go to lodges, are they putting into practice some of these things? Do we have wholesome discussions within the lodge that are going to stimulate the minds of the men present? Are we going to explore the challenges that our youth is facing, or not just the youth, but the new members of the fraternity? Are we discussing what they're facing and how we can help them overcome it? If we don't do that, then yeah, you may have some people that earn a beautiful certificate to put on their wall, but you are not necessarily harvesting the fruit of your labor. People aren't becoming better, you know, especially if you within the lodge setting. That's let's not forget, that's the point of contact with the craft is the lodge room. And if the lodge room doesn't have that nutritious component, then we might as well not even have it. It's just
yep, no, totally agree. The other thing I'll add to this conversation, like, because again, to pull this metaphor to its ultimate end, is that you even have to listen to your own body. Like, you know, you can kind of tell if you're getting hangry, right? You know, I know I need some blood sugar boost. You know, I know I need some protein in the morning. So when you become, you know, when you become attuned to your body and you listen to what your body needs, your diet and when you consume your diet will be actually tailored for you, right? You may be on a different schedule than the rest of your family or the rest of your household. Same is true for your lodge, right? The needs that you have Masonically in an education sense also will be unique to you. It will also be something that you will have to explore on your own. You will have to consume at your schedule, and will be different, should be different from what is available at your local lodge, for example. So it's always smart to listen to your body. Joe?
Yeah, I was going to, that's a great analogy. I really want to hear Robert's best analogy of the evening, you know, soon, but,
he's got a doozy.
I know he does. I think that let's talk about newer Masons, and let's talk about people that are just getting into the craft, or people that are, you know, that very young Mason, like you were talking about, that example you gave of, you know, going to a lodge meeting as a new Mason and talking with a past master about something you saw on the internet, and they have no idea what you're talking about. I think that the younger or newer Mason, or the Mason that is starting to become interested in Masonic education, doesn't know the mechanism by which to ask for that education, right? Because they don't know, you know, when they start out, they don't know what's right and what's wrong, you know, like, oh, I thought the business meeting was just a business meeting. I didn't know we were supposed to have education. I didn't know it was supposed to be such an important component. I read the education manual from Virginia. And like I said, I thought that was an amazing definition. I don't think a lot of lodges put education in the same importance as the Grand Lodge is dictating that you should. But, you know, your newer Mason is not going to stand up in lodge and say, hey, I just read this and we're supposed to be doing education every meeting. And no, they're just going to get frustrated and bummed out, start going to the internet, going less to lodge. And it's a self perpetuating prophecy, you know, of disappointment, right? So how do we break that cycle? No, I don't have that answer right now.
Well, and that's kind of the point of the episode is that if you are off balance in your nutrition, part of your body decays. And if your lodge or your Grand Lodge is off balance in its educational diet, then its membership will decay, both literally and figuratively.
Let me shine a light. Joe, you inspired something here. When you say that, for example, I can't say I can't remember how you phrased it, but when you're saying that, okay, we don't know how they're going to go about getting their Masonic education. For example, they go to lodge, they don't get anything other than the ritual and, you know, maybe the business part of it. So they're going to stop going to lodge and they're going to spend their own time doing their own research, going to the internet and so on and so forth. That is fine for few. Like for me, for example, I don't need to go to lodge to get my Masonic fill because I have a large collection of books. Mm-hmm. I have a large collection of brothers and friends with whom I have conversations. I have access to multiple groups where I can engage in discussions. So I'm good. But not everybody has that self-determination or that drive, or maybe, like you said, they may not know where to go to get some reliable information. Yeah. Yep. So they're in a precarious situation because for them, it's going to be a disappointment, not just in the fraternity as an organization, but it may end up being a disappointment on the craft as a system of philosophy. Lastly, what I'll say about that, it made me think of someone, for example, who lives in a food desert. And again, a food desert, for those who don't know, is an area in a country where it's difficult to find wholesome food that is packed with nutrition.
Yeah, usually urban settings, right?
Most of the time, that's where you'll find them. You will find in those areas, you'll have families that grow their own vegetables and fruits. So they have the wherewithal to actually take the initiative and work the land for their own nutrition. They don't need to travel super far to go get stuff. So they may be the equivalent of someone who can sit on the internet or sit in front of a book and absorb that desired knowledge that they're looking for.
Yeah, I think that is a excellent point. And as you were saying that, I was thinking of, you know, this issue that we've been talking about all night is unfortunately a very American issue, right? You don't have these same sorts of issues in other parts of the world, right? For a couple of reasons. You know, if you go to South America, their definition of Freemasonry is depending on where you go and what rite they perform. It's very specific, right? So everybody knows what they're getting in, what they're getting out of it before they get into it. Let's look at the UK, for example. And if there's any UK folks on here on YouTube, correct me. But from what I've seen, they have things like affinity lodges. So you have groups of people that are all interested in the very same things, smaller lodges, right? Not the super lodges that we have here in the States of 200 plus people or more. But if you have I guess you could say we have that concept here with the quote unquote traditional observance movement, right? Smaller lodges that all have the same desire to get the same thing out of Masonry. So I guess to your point, John, it is an imbalanced diet. But, you know, come hell or high water, they're going to go down swinging and they're at least going to do it together, right? Which is, I would say, a big step up from a lot of your regular lodges.
Robert's been thinking over there.
I know. I see his face. I was just looking at him like, man, he is going through some stuff up there.
Analogy.
I'm just thinking about everything. I don't really have an analogy. I have one that's easy though, right? I guess for me, I think about all these things that we have this pull for education and Grand Lodges think, awesome, let's put together a program. And I think number one, Masonic education is demanded by some who, there's gotta be some psychological profile for somebody who's like really into Masonic education. That also says we're like loud and obnoxious, and or a good number of us are, or anyway, right? Because somehow we're like really a minority in Freemasonry, and yet Grand Lodge has allowed, yeah, all of y'all, right? But yet Grand Lodge is never, you know, I work for the Grand Lodge Illinois Masonic Education Committee, and what I'm about to say is no, is not Grand Lodge words. It's my own. So a disclaimer, right? Like John has in the beginning of the show. I don't think Grand Lodge programs generally work for Masonic education ever. And I think it's because there's always this focus on the program. And so aside from that, Masonic education doesn't work because, again, I said we're a minority, I believe. Very few brothers are earnestly seeking betterment actively by participating in something, right? Like, oh, I went to work. I passively listened to a WebEx or something that we put on. We had some guy talk to us from Congress about leadership and community, or I watched a Netflix show or whatever, right? And like, nobody's actually getting up out of their chairs and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to drive up to an hour, maybe more, to Lodge to sit and go to an educational program. And regardless of what that educational program is, like, I really don't care if it's administrative, because administrative at least helps you understand how to move the lodge. If it's philosophical, which arguably everything is philosophical, even leadership. The ritual is in how it's done properly with decorum. All of these things have a place, I think. But we're always focused on the program. And I think one thing that ties a lot of what we've talked about tonight is this idea that actually, I'm going to throw back to Chad Kopensky. He's in Ohio. He's the education chair there. And he's made a real point about talking about how Freemasonry affects the person, right? So it's not about the Grand Lodge program. Did you complete the Grand Lodge program? Like, dude, I don't care about any Grand Lodge's official interpretation of concept A, B, C, whatever. It doesn't matter because it's wrong. It's always wrong because it's going to be about an individual Mason's personal journey. And so what we're talking about here is this idea that Juan is talking about practical application, which is awesome. And that practical application might be a different lens for Joe, who looks at things through an esoteric kind of sense, and he pulls those practical lessons into his home life and business life or whatever. We all do these things. And so that's one thing that frustrates me, I think, is these Grand Lodge programs. Steve Harrison wrote a great piece about Masonic education served on a silver platter. And he has like information that basically says, we gave it to them and nobody uses it. Because it's a minority thing. Not everybody uses it. It's like when it's like, here's your analogy. If we're all together at work and we're like, hey, we're going to get together for beers after work, who's coming? And you talk to that one guy and he's like, yeah, I'll probably see you there. And he never shows. It's the same way, I think, with lodges, really. You know, we don't have any real expectation. How many guys really join to be actively bettering themselves? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Do I personally feel like maybe, I mean, I'm sure they get something out of it, right? And I hope they do. But for the minority of guys who are really there for the education, this balanced nutritional kind of concept that y'all have come up with, I think that's worked as a really wonderful mode of transport for this. I think a lot of us just, you know, we're kind of on our own. But thank God we all have big mouths, right? Because, you know, we're the loudest. We're the loudest, really.
I wanted to share something. When I was living in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico, very, very spicy, you know, when I used to work in the hotel industry, and I was part of the opening crew of this amazing hotel that's part of a gigantic hotel chain that you're probably familiar with. Anyway, as part of the training, they were talking about all the systems that they have put in place in order to provide the guest with a memorable experience. The sole mission was not that they stayed and they survived that one stay. It was to emblazon in their minds that this was the place to stay. No matter where in the world you went, you had to find that one hotel chain to stay in. And the way that they encourage you to do that is to make sure that you were attentive to the individual needs of those people. Whenever it was within reason, try to accommodate the expectations of that individual. If we were to look at that approach in Masonry, the goal is to take that one profane person and get them through the initiatic experience and allow him to enjoy the benefits of being part of our craft. If our goal is that, is to inculcate them to be better men, we may need to look at that intersection. Okay, what does he need in order to become that better person? And it's not like we're going to invent stuff for them. We have it all. It's all part of the craft. It's all part of the ritual. It's all part of the teachings. It's just making sure that we're helping them connect with that piece that they need. The other aspect of what that hotel chain used to do was that they empowered the individual. They empowered each and every one of the employees by telling them, listen, if your goal is to help that guest be satisfied through their stay and build a favorable impression of what this hotel chain is about, you can do you can go above and beyond what is expected. There's not a program that says when someone is their room is prepared late, give them a free meal at the restaurant. There's no prescription for that. But if you think that that is going to help in making that experience a satisfactory one, then go ahead and do it. Give them a free drink at the bar. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to start doing things that are more elaborate, you have to consult it with a supervisor, but still provide that experience. So
I like that. Just to pull the thread on that, I know Zappos, the shoe company that got bought by Amazon, their customer service representatives were allowed to satisfy his customer up to a certain dollar threshold. I think it was like $250. So whatever it was, they didn't need to approve. They could just immediately solve the customer problem. They were authorized to spend the company dime up to $250, no questions asked, to make a customer happy. And then when it got above that, then that's also part of it. And then another little fascinating thing about Zappos, customer service reps were allowed to fire the customers. If there was just a customer that was not worth the time dealing with, you could say, hey, I'm sorry, Zappos couldn't solve your problem. Have a nice day, and hang up on them. So Juan celebrating that. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we could do the same for Masonry?
If people are being jerks in the chat, which is a forum that we have to have fellowship and educate each other. If people are being jerks, then bounce. We don't need you in the chat.
Yes. I think that all three of you touched on the same thing with different examples, which is essentially the whole purpose of Masonic education is geared towards the individual, right? Robert said it, you know, it's not about the program, it's about the person. And Juan said it, you know, giving his example, it's about the customer. And we really have to look at the Masons in our lodges as customers to that point. You know, are we giving them what they need in order to continue to come back here or get what they think they are going to get out of this? And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm afraid to give the answer to that question, right? Because we see declining numbers and lodges closing down and everything just getting decrepit and ugly. Some of the folks on YouTube were talking about this, that there is an upswell in this desire to want to know more, right? And I think we can all agree that the purpose of it is to better ourselves and better our families and better our lives in general, right? So I've seen that upswell in the last few years. I think you all have as well. But it's drips and drabs. But I think if we focus, and I'm guilty of this, I think if we focus more on the individual than the overhaul concept, I think we'll be more successful than we think, you know, in this endeavor. You know, if you can get one person to commit to, you know, getting rid of some of those vices, you know, like not going to Taco Bell every night, which I would love to do, but I can't, cause I'm old. You know, I think that's, we can chalk that up to being a success. You know, if we can swing that one person around from, you know, a boring, crappy meeting to opening up a book at home, you've all said it. It's about the individual, and you know, this whole thing that we call Freemasonry is an initiate's path that you get to do with other people that you like, and that's essentially all it is.
That's an excellent segue to wrap up things into the final question of the night, which is, you think it'd be an obvious one, like, what's your favorite part of Masonic education? I'm not going to go there because y'all are a bunch of nerds and I already know the answer. So the actual question for tonight is, how can each of us listening here, meaning all of you as well, listening to the podcast or watching the YouTube channel, how can all of us influence brothers to consume a well-balanced Masonic educational diet? So think about that. Think about how we can influence those who, again, not tell them what the answer is, because that should be an individual path, but how can we influence brothers to go find and explore a more well-balanced educational diet? We'll start with Juan.
Thank you, John. The first thing that comes to mind is a lesson that I've tried to observe when it comes to dealing with my own children. Don't tell them that you're going to teach them anything. Instead, find a interesting, engaging, clever way to get into a deep conversation. If I tell them, hey, listen, come here, I got to tell you something that it's important, so pay attention. Burp, they're gone. Like, they don't care. They don't want to listen. But if I approach them, I said, hey, oh my God, you know what? I just found out that blankety blank, blank, blank. And it's like, you know, how does that make you feel? And I start engaging with them. And before you know it, we're sitting down for a long time having a conversation that I wanted them to have anyway. Do the same in your lodge. Ask. We meet on the level, right? So if you ask for the word, as we do in Latin American Masonry, you ask for the word. You say, okay, I would like to have a word, basically. I'd like to speak. If you ask for the floor, you're entitled to speak. And you don't have to go through a whole rigmarole. Say, brothers, I just wanted to share something interesting that I found with recently that surprised me that I had not heard it before, and then just lay it on them. And perhaps later on, offer to the worshipful master if you want to give a more thorough presentation or something like that. But get them curious and then just drop it on them. And I think that they'll go a long way.
We've got this budget about the electricity bill we got to talk about. So if you could just put that
tie it in. Tie it into the budget. Make sure you know, this us dealing with this budget reminds me of something I recently found out, and boom, just drop it on them. All right, thank you so much, everybody who's been participating in the chat. I love it. Thank you so much for Brother Amadeus. You know that we love you tremendously. Thank you so much for being a great supporter of the Masonic Roundtable. And brothers, I invite you, if you haven't checked out the Gentleman's Brotherhood, please do that. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere. Find me at The Gents Bro, and you'll see some different stuff in there. Thank you.
Sweet. Robert, how can we influence one another to consume a more well-balanced diet?
Well, I think first, let's look at this. So
love
try it.
What is it?
You might like it. Okay, so this is Green Eggs and Ham, right? You all know the book Green Eggs and Ham. Sam I Am tries to get the dude to try Green Eggs and Ham, and he's like, I don't like it. And at the end, he's like, fine, I'll try it. And you know what? I'll try it, and you're going to leave me alone. And he tries it, and he's like, damn it, I like these, Sam I Am. I like Masonic education. So that's where I'm going with this. this whole idea of, oh, let me stop sharing that. There you go. So this whole idea is that in my mind, you don't know what you don't know. You have preconceived notions, and a lot of us are just stuck in a rut with the same old stuff over and over again. We don't want to try this. We can't do that. Look, I've tried some really gross food in my time, and I'm a man, and I was like a real picky eater as a kid. And as a grown, I was going to say something else, but as a grown man, I'm like, you know, I'm mature enough. I should try this food and actually know if I like it or not. And you know what? I hate hearts of palm, but you know what? I love asparagus. And you know, when I tried asparagus, I was probably like 28 years old. So it's just like, you don't know that you really don't like it. And yes, there are problems with the way Masonic education can be presented. Sometimes I think Brother Patrick Day has a great article about this. Sometimes we're too pompous. So, or not we, but some guys can be too pompous about Masonic education. Sometimes it's too dry. And sometimes the administrative guys just hate the Masonic education. They roll their eyes. Read all about it in Darren Lohner's most recent Masonic education piece on Midnight Freemasons. You know, there's just not a lot of respect that goes around, I think. But if you try it, you might like it. What does it look like? I get guys asking me all the time, how do you bring Masonic education into the lodge? And it's like, I ask them, well, what kind of Masonic education are you looking for? Well, I really want to get into the philosophic stuff. Well, listen, you're not going to go into your lodge and start doing the golden verses of Pythagoras and have anybody stick around. Like, maybe you will, right? If you have a TO lodge, or that's the expectation. But if you're just a lodge, I say just a lodge. If you're a lodge, like my mother lodge is primarily HVAC, retired military guys, who race through the minutes to go home. Like, I honestly don't, I know they love each other's group, and that's what drives them together. They like the social time together before and a little bit after lodge. They rarely stick out because they're older guys. So they want to go to home, all these kind of things. But maybe there's a way to bring in some kind of Masonic education that's like, let's talk about this historical moment in Freemasonry. And what made this historic? Was it the decision this man made? And was that a Masonic tenet? Think about ways that you can start pulling apart these things and talking about them in a more philosophical way that guys can actually relate to. And if you try baby steps, and you'll be surprised. I think Gary Meisner in the chat had talked about bringing some of Juan's applied masonry into lodge, and some of the oldest past masters just ate it up and just started talking. You don't know that it's not going to work. It's really simple. Masonic education is not always just some dude reading a 20-page paper in front of the lodge, you know, sounding like Ben Stein from Ferris Bueller. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be an active conversation, introspective, all of those things. So try it. Just try it. Start with baby steps. And, you know, ease the way in the door. In psychology, they call that the foot in the door. Hey, you're going out for milk. Can you also pick me up, you know, a Snickers and some Twizzlers, six pack of Heinekens and some asparagus? But that's my advice. I really think that's how you can start to make some changes. If you like Masonic education, check out Whence Came You. There it is. Baby steps, baby steps. Richard, brother, 32nd degree, brother Richard Dreyfuss. There's going to be a webinar with him soon, talking about civics and Freemasonry. Anyway, I would say, if you like Masonic education, check out Whence Came You podcast. That'll be on Sunday nights, 9:30. I don't know what this episode this week's going to be about because I haven't recorded it yet, but it'll be fun. I promise. We'll talk to you then.
It's a mystery.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Mm-hmm. Joe, over to you.
Hey. So, good talk tonight. I think... I'm gonna be a little bit different and say, if you're a new Mason or you're new to the craft or you've been in the craft for years and you don't have this feeling that you're getting Masonic education, whether it's coming from the Grand Lodge or from your local lodge or what have you, travel, leave the place where you're comfortable with and go to another lodge. go visit that lodge, see how they do things, see what the camaraderie's like, see what the tone and tenor of the place is like. I can't tell you how many times I've traveled and I've walked and had walked into a lodge and had a completely different experience than I get from my home lodge. Sometimes it's different and I'd like to go back again. Sometimes it's different and I'd probably not go back again, but you at least learn that there's different aspects of masonry 3 or 4 miles away. So travel, go visit other lodges, see what they like to do, see what they don't like to do. And you'll start to get a feeling for what your place in the fraternity is going to be and how that revolves around Masonic education. So, yeah, that's probably where I'll leave you with, is just travel and go try something new. Maybe like that asparagus that Robert tried. If they have green beans, turn around and walk out. So that's the last thing I'll leave you with.
100%.
I was waiting.
No green beans.
Try it.
No green beans.
What is it called? It's like the fancy green bean thing where they think they throw some almonds on top.
Casserole. Casserole. They call it a casserole. And that's absurd.
Have some dignity. Walk away.
Green beans, almond, or I don't know.
Whatever. At least there's a line. I'm proud of you guys for having a line. So that's good. All right. Let's see. So how can each of us listening here influence brothers to consume a well-balanced educational diet? It really comes down to three areas for me. One, be curious. You don't know what you don't know. So always kind of be scanning, be looking, be aware. Means like get awareness of that somehow, and then be repetitious. So if you are trying to influence others, see what's out there, let people know, bring it up. If you have a minute of the worshipful's time, you can say, hey, I just want to let you guys know that I have a little book study club. Love to have you guys talk. This week we're talking about, Wilmshurst meeting a masonry. Thanks. Right. Make sure that people are aware that there's other things out there or things that, to make them well-rounded in their endeavors. Or, hey, I'm going to do, Virginia, we have a thing called correspondence courses where we kind of go over some of the Masonic law. And that's great. Say, hey, I'm going to get together some guys after lodge and we'll go over, a correspondence course. We'll go over a couple questions on that. So give them the awareness. Think advertising, but just awareness. Let them know there's something out there. And then finally, be repetitious, because you're going to have different guys showing up to lodge 2 months from now. And so they're going to miss when you told them about your book club 2 months ago. You got to say it again. You have to be repetitious, be consistent, be persistent. That's it. So, know what's out there. Make sure that people are exploring and flat out ask, right? Ask your brothers, hey, what brings you to lodge? Like, what gets you going? You really like history? Well, that's cool because, our Grand Lodge has a ton of records in their archives that like are there for the taking that we can go and do some research. You want to learn about the first master of your lodge? Cool. Let's go find out, So be curious, be aware, and then be repetitious to make sure that everyone can be exposed to that. Because I think that's the real deficiency. If you have an iron deficiency, to pull that metaphor one last time, if you have a sugar deficiency, there's a craving there. And so we want to make sure that when people have the deficiency, they know where to go. They know where to find that last little piece of nutrition that's going to keep them going to live another day. With that, I want to thank you all very much for watching, and want all of you to keep searching for more light. Have a good night.
Wow.